Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is the 24th of September, 2018. We have my brother Keith. Pastor Keith is not feeling so well, so he's not in studio, but he's on. He's there, and we'll probably be chiming in. Keith, hope you're feeling better, brother. I know that back problem becomes a real issue. So, at any time, Keith, whenever you wanted to chime in, just unmute yourself. I'll see you in queue, and we'll bring you up for sure. All right. So, with that being said, everyone, let's support Black Talk Radio Network and continue to ensure that this network is here. You can do that by making a monetary donation to the website that this network puts all of this programming together. It is a grassroots organization because it was actually created for you and the demographics in which we serve. And so you can easily do that by going to the website for this network, and that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com. Give a monetary donation to ensure that this network is on air and will be on air going forward. And do that because it takes financial energy to maintain what has been already built and to develop it even further. This is one of our institutions that we should not lose. And the only way that cannot happen is if we actually take up the overall the responsibility or take it upon ourselves to ensure that this network is here by giving some financial donations so that it will remain on air and continue to develop the program that you have deemed already as being necessary and relevant. So Black Talk Radio Network is the website. Hit the donation prompt, give some of your financial energy. All donations are greatly appreciated, regardless of the overall size. But please do make a donation. You can also support the network by becoming a member in a social media platform, and that is BTR Community. BTR Community was put together so that you can have a more holistic social media experience instead of your identity being sold, instead of your information being data mined and it used against you, instead of they're using your overall postings for their financial gain and not sharing any of that with you at all. But BTR Community, you can find it at www.btrcommunity. You can come to BTR Community and engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected, meaning this, as I said, your identity won't be sold to any bidder. Someone that's a member inside of BTR Community is not going to try to use that information, in my opinion, against you for employment, for bonus, for promotion, or anything of such of that nature, because it's a membership, okay? so you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected, and you can monetize it as well within reason. You can promote stuff about yourself, your business, or other things that you think need to be given more public exposure. So come on over to BTR Community for only $24 a year. One-time payment of $24 gets you access to the social media platform, and you can engage in all of your social media activities and not have to worry about FedBook, okay, or telling, so which is AKA tweeting. So come on over to BTR Community in a more holistic way. Also, it is high time, everyone. The lot things that are going, the precious metals field is exploding. And I do anticipate at some point and at some time that the availability of precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and rhodium, is going to be restricted and then not available. And it won't be available probably first, then there will be restrictions that will come in. And it's not going to be available because of the overall global demand for where things is going globally, economically. And people are going to want to protect themselves. And so being able to acquire the precious metals at the overall price points or entry point that you can do right now is better than it's been in a very, very long time. But I don't anticipate that to be the norm. I anticipate that to be the window. And then at some point and at some time, that window of opportunity is going to close. So go to Prosperity Mint and check out what's in inventory. Then email Prosperity Mint and say, hey, I'm a Tando Radio Show listener, and someone will get back to you. And once that happens, make sure that you follow up with Prosperity Mint when they do get in contact with you. It's very, very important. Prosperity Mint is significant because that's where you can exchange your cash for real money, okay? Exchange your cash for real money. Very, very, very important. A must do. And then once you're there, email info at Prosperity Mint. Tell them that, hey, I'm a Tando Radio Show listener, and Dave sent me, and that will someone will get in contact with you and exchange you. Just because we're paid as a slave, the wage of a king and a queen is gold. The wage of a lady and a gentleman is silver. The wage of a slave is debt. But you don't have to save as a slave. You should definitely save as a lady and a gentleman, or as a king and a queen. And I would say saving as a lady and a gentleman is more important than saving as a king or queen, because silver is far more valuable than gold. That's the one that you should be doing. I guess I need to change that overall saying that I have. I guess really the wage of a king and a queen really is silver, because very few the silver holdings are never disclosed because they're so critically and infrastructurally important, and they don't disclose that of how much a country has or how much a sovereign wealth fund has. So I would say that the wage of a king and a queen is silver, and the wage of a lady and a gentleman is gold, and the wage of a slave is debt. That's more appropriate for that overall saying. So I needed to change that. Okay. With that being said, going over to Prosperity Mint, definitely check out what's in inventory, then get in contact with us. Also, anyone that actually was in Coins of Change with me, make sure that you take out everything out of your system wallet and send it to your personal wallet, okay? Just because since Bitcoin has had a struggle, the interest in Bitcoin has diminished greatly, and so I don't want your overall cryptocurrency sitting in the system wallet of Coins of Change. Send it to your personal wallet, okay? Definitely, that's something that you should be doing. All right, so let's get into today's show. And today's show is, and Keith, if you ever wanted to chime in, just unmute yourself and just say, excuse me, Dave, you know, and then that way I'll be able to see you. Just, and I know you won't be, you know, bashful or shy about that. So just jump in at any time. Just say, excuse me, Dave, and then I'll hear you, and we'll definitely come to you, my friend. Okay, so today's show, let me get set up here. Today's show is the 24th. Today's topic is the Syrian no-fly zone to be enforced by Russia. Very, very important. Events happened over the weekend, and we definitely need to be made aware of that and how they play out into everything. So we're going to do that for sure. So today's show is going to be: a Syrian no-fly zone has been established by Russia. And we're going to talk about the significance of that. And we're going to have the Nord Stream 2 topic continuance. I missed Brother and Sister Davis over the weekend. I will definitely give you guys a call. I saw that I missed your call, Brother and Sister Davis. So we'll give you a call. So there may be a Wise Wednesday show on Wednesday. On Wednesday, if there isn't a Wise Wednesday show, I won't be able to do a show this coming Wednesday. I have some personal things I need to take care of, so I won't be able to do a show on Wednesday. So, but either I think Brother Davis and Sister Davis will be available to do the show, but if not, I won't be able to. Okay, so let's jump into today's show. Syrian no-fly zone to be enforced by Russia. Very, very important. But before we get into what's in the news, let me just say something about this no-fly zone. I thought it was extremely important that we had this show, because a Syrian no-fly zone, in so many ways, and they're saying it's just for a short period of time, but I have the feeling that it's going to be extended, and it probably will be extended over all of the airspace of Syria. And then that, ladies and gentlemen, is a very major indication of the overall move towards direct confrontation between the U.S., Israel, and Russia and all of its allies. And the U.S. and its so-called allies, which I don't think are what they most people think that they are. So that is very important. And the significance of that is that it really moves us much, much closer to military confrontations between the overall governments. And that window is going to have a cascading, those events continue, you're going to see them to continue to happen. And each step of the way that these events start to happen, you're going to see a different financial response, both in the precious metals and then economically in the currency and in the trade and in relationships. We are really are sitting on the precipice of a major, major trade war and shooting war between nuclear capable countries. And that is something you all need to be prepared for. We all need to be prepared for, and our community needs to be prepared for, and everyone definitely. And I'm talking about the whole global human community needs to prepare for this, because there are individuals that are dictating this, and what they're going to do is that they're going to minimize their overall risk and expose the general population to all of the risk, because they're going to try to harvest all of the profits from that, because war is extremely profitable. And it is definitely one of the greatest risks that we have, because of how much is really lost in lives. That liability is always going to be on the people, and the benefits of war are always going to be harvested for those that actually caused, created, instigated, and affected their will to ensure that war was to happen. And we must be aware and prepare for that now. And I would just say to you, the preparation of that is of the highest priority now for everyone. And I will just say, for those of you that are of faith, the great Creator actually has always instructed throughout our overall spiritual relationship to always be in a position of preparedness. It's coming upon you, because the great Creator gave us everything we needed to be prepared, but it's on us to choose to exercise and to use that. It requires us to engage in that. It requires us to see the relevance, importance of it, and to align ourselves with that truth. It relies on us not to be deceived into deceptive measures that are false and are malevolent, but for us to be benevolent and actually use all the talents and abilities that were given to us, not by our own doing, but out of the overall true grace and love, and to put ourselves continuously in a position of advantage. If we're not in a position of the advantage, it can't be said it's because the great creator didn't provide. We just didn't show up for the provisions. We didn't get ourselves aligned with the provisions that have already been in place for us to be prepared. And to be more than just prepared, but for us to be in a position of advantage at all times, to maintain our sovereignty, self-determination. So there is, I think it's very misfortunate for us to have a sense of ennui towards what's going on and the things that are happening. Because if we do not look at and have a real discernment towards those things, with a direction that we will respond to those things with, then it will be our own behesting that we should falter, that we should engage in obstacles and adversities that we otherwise wouldn't have to engage in. It's really incumbent upon us to maintain our overall spiritual relationship by sacrificing the letter of the law and maintaining the spirit of the law. So very, very important. So that's why I think it should be in all of our highest priority. And it's when things start to continue to unfold the way that they will, at some point this priority will be the number one priority in many people's lives, in your lives, in my life, and everyone else's life. It will be priority number one. But the thing is that once it reached that overall position, have you, before it was the overall exceeding priority, or the discipline, having the overall frugal discipline that we need to have that places us where we are now, will you have done the things that were necessary so that when this does become the primary priority of yourself, did you prepare yourself accordingly when it wasn't? Because if you do that, you will actually have the overall momentum spiritually, your spirit, your soul, and your body, physically and spiritually, will be in line with the overall assets that the great creator has made abundantly available to us at our exposure in abundance. The key is, will you be there? Will you be there? And that will be the choice. That is a choice now and forevermore. So let's utilize this and get prepared for this, because it is going to have such a marked influence in our daily moments of eternity. And I just want you and I to be as prepared and in a position of advantage as we possibly could be. So that's why this is so important. So let's get into what's in the news, and then I'm going to jump into today's show. First article, OG sent me this one. This is from Reuters TV. China's Ma reverses U.S. job plan due to trade wars. The trade wars are definitely going to continue to ramp it up. Very great article. Thank you, OG. Next article, got this one from Voluntary Network. Russia's military drill off the coast of Syria. The Russian army is performing major military exercises off the coast of Syria. This is why air and maritime routes have been temporarily closed. in the parts of in this part of the Mediterranean. The Russian drill follows the destruction of a Russian plane during a joint British-French Israeli attack on September the 18th. Basically, what they're saying is that there has been a no-fly zone that's been put into Syria, off the coast of Syria, regional portions of Syria. There is a no-fly zone, and it's already been challenged by Israel, and Russia responded to that challenge, I think it was yesterday. That fly zone, that no-fly zone, I think is going to increase over the scope of all of Syria. And this is what I thought last week on the 17th when we talked about this. I knew that this was going to be a opportunity. Let no crisis go to waste. I knew that this was going to be the opportunity that the Russians, the Syrians, and the Chinese, and the Iraq and the Iranians were going to use, and all of their allies were going to use as a momentum to really get control over Syria, because and to protect their interests. And that interest will be protected ultimately with all-out war with the U.S. And I do see that happening, and happening sooner rather than later. We are closer to it today than we were yesterday. Next article I got from RT International: criminal neglect or disregard to Russian-Israeli ties. MOD detailed chronically of the IL-20 downing. I'm going to take a look at this. Check out that article. Next article: over the weekend, the Iranian within Iran and different parts of Iran, they had different military drills, and they had Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps were having parades, and in one of the parades there was a major shooting. They said it was a terrorist act, where last I checked, it was 25 people killed. Half of them were from the elite Revolutionary Guard Corps, Iranians Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, 25 of them, and they were absolutely outraged by that. And this is from Press TV. IRGC, which stands for the Iranian Islamic Republic Revolutionary Guard Corps, vows to avenge the terrorist act. And their president and their celebrity figurehead government officials all said that it was the U.S. and Israel's support, and they were the ones that authorized, backed, funded, and was the cause of this overall attack. And so they vowed to retaliate. Next article from Sputnik News: U.S. envoy to the U.N., Nikki Haley, to Iran after Haifa's killing. Look in the mirror. Nikki Haley, the celebrity figurehead U.S. ambassador to the U.N., asserted that Tehran is responsible for the violent unrest within its borders as well as across the Middle East. Basically, Nikki Haley said, don't you try to blame that on the U.S. That overall attack is because you need to look in the mirror. You have been perpetuating that. Boy. All a setup, y'all. This is the theater before the overall major confrontations. But I have my own opinion about it. I am a political atheist. I do not believe in any political party. They are all equally the problem against the people of the world. They actually have a fraternity against us. And this one, and how they use that is very significant. In this incident, I would say there has been no greatest form of terrorism ever placed upon this planet that hasn't been the greatest forms of terrorism has been sanctioned and authorized and carried out by the overall corporation of the United States. The historical truth of that is undeniable. It's undeniable. But this is where we are, and it's going to continue to unfold. Next article got from RT. Iran vows crushing and devastating response to U.S. and Israel after military parade attack. So check out that article. Next article from RT International. Breaking news. Russia to supply S-300 to Syria within 3 weeks. It's 2 weeks after the IL downing, reconnaissance plane downing, doing an Israeli raid, MOD says. And we're going to take a look at that as well. Next article, the overall trade war, ladies and gentlemen, has really stepped up into a new phase. This one comes from Wall Street Journal. China says Trump's administration is a trade bully as new tariffs takes effect. Check out that article. But more has been done and said. Next article from Reuters. Iran's Khomeini blames the Gulf Arab state for military parade attack. Check out that article. Very, very important article from Reuters. China cancels military talks with the U.S. in protest at sanctions over China buying Russian military hardware. China summoned the U.S. ambassador in Beijing. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, when they say that, and it's purposely being done this way, when they said that China summoned the U.S. ambassador in Beijing, pretty soon you're going to hear China has broken diplomatic ties with the U.S. and has told the ambassador to leave the country. And I definitely see that, and then Russia will do the same, and other countries will do the same. This is, or the U.S. will recall their ambassador from China. Either way, that's a pretense to war. And I anticipate that happening in the future. But here we go. China cancels military talk with the U.S. in protest at sanctions over the purchase of Russian military hardware. China summoned the U.S. ambassador in Beijing and postponed a joint military talk in protest against a U.S. decision to sanction a Chinese military agency and its director for buying Russian fighter jets and surface-to-air missile systems. China's deputy foreign minister summons the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador, in a stern representation. So what is happening here? This is huge. This is a very, very important thing that happened. The U.S. has sanctioned a portion of the Chinese military and its directors for buying, can you get this? Listen to this, for buying Russian fighter jets and surface-to-air missiles. This is basically an act of war against China. Who is the U.S. to tell them what they can and can't buy militarily? And they're saying that because they're sanctioning Russia. You have to be on our side and sanction them too. You have to keep them under our overall control as well as we're keeping you under control. See, one of the things about the sanctions is not also an act to try to control the overall country that's being sanctioned. It's really an act to control the countries that do business with that overall country, and is sanctioning everyone else, saying basically I'm sanctioning them and you have to sanction them too. If you don't sanction them, then I'm going to sanction you as well. So it's a bully tactic. How long before people get tired of bullies? How long before people align themselves against bullies? And the system knows that. This is why they perpetuate this. Very, very important article. We may get to it, so check that out. Next article, really good one from Path to War by Ray Dalos. I really want to get to that one, but we'll get it later. Another one, this one I got from Real Clear Politics. I definitely suggest everyone follow this gentleman and his work. His name is move this down. His name is got it now. This is from Clear Politics, Chris Hedge. Chris is someone I definitely suggest that you all familiarize some of his works, very great works, and I really do like a lot of the works that he does. And he says, Chris Hedge says, are we witnessing the collapse of the American empire? Yes, absolutely. And this needs to be a show in itself, and we will take a look at that. Very, very critical, good piece there by Chris. He always does some great work. Next article from Russia Today. International. U.S. sanctions are a sign of a dollar crisis and decline of confidence. The minister of the Russian foreign minister, Lavrov, said the U.S. dollar system has completely discredited itself, and the confidence in the greenback is falling very sharply, according to the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. Sanctions by the U.S. are the signs of that. Russia is working its way on ways to cut its dependency on the U.S. and the dollar system. What was said Friday, man, very important. True. Check out that article. Next article: U.S. sanctions China for buying fighter jets and missiles. Check out that from Reuters. Next article got from Wall Street Journal. China cancels trade talk with the U.S. Escalation in tariff threats. Check out that article. Next article, this comes from Channel News Asia. China's Navy ships makes maiden visit to Venezuela after Maduro's visit in Venezuela. We said this was going to happen. This is huge. Absolutely huge. The overall cornering of Venezuela is now being boastfully and forcefully put in the forefront. Do you see the squeeze that's happening against the U.S.? What do you think Venezuela is going to do? They are going to align themselves with China, without a doubt. Next article got from Active Post. Can't attend the October 6th biohacking EMF, and that is for EMF is electronic. I can't remember event, but be sure to check out their website anyway and watch a short video about the 5G small cell towers that are being placed everywhere. Good article, very important. Next article from Reuters. Here we go. U.S. preparing actions in coming days against Venezuela. The celebrity figurehead Pompeo, Secretary of State, says the U.S. is preparing a series of actions in the coming days to increase pressure on the Venezuelan government, says the Secretary of State, celebrity figurehead Mike Pompeo, told Fox News on Friday. Why is that? Because what is Venezuela doing? Strengthening their ties. You think Venezuela doesn't know where to go to protect themselves? They're going to go to the BRIC nations. Why? Because they can be a part of BRIC themselves, because all of the BRIC nations have assets. Venezuela has a large amount of assets. Very, very important. The overall war, y'all. Next article from Global Micro Monitor, the gathering storm in the Treasury market. Check out that. We'll probably do something with that as well. Next article from Russia Insider. Is Russia really no more of a great power than an independent Texas would be? Hope you catch the subliminal message that's there. Check out that article. Next one, we've been talking about that as well. Next article, this one comes from Bloomberg. And it says, Trump imposes next batch of China tariffs as trade war escalates. And boy, is it escalating. So check out that article. Next article from Global Times, which is a Chinese tabloid. And it says, China releases white papers on the facts and its position on trade friction with the U.S. Very important. Also from Inhang Net, U.S. trade bullyism shakes foundation of global multilateral trade regime. White papers. And this is what China is saying about the U.S. And basically what they're saying is that the U.S. is trying to bully the world into sanctions. We're not going to take it. So this is the overall pretense to the war that will actually turn into a shooting one. Next article from RT International. Tel Aviv won't change Syrian policy despite the downing of a Russian IL-20, Israeli defense minister said. So basically Israel said, we don't care that they got a no-fly zone or we shot the plane down, the plane got shot down. We're going to keep doing what we were doing in Syria, and basically acts of war and aggression against them. This is where it's going to come to a head majorly. Next article from Southern Front. U.S. history of chemical weapons use. And and complicit in war crimes. And complicity in war crimes. That's a good one. Check out that one. Next article, almost done, from CNBC. Russian sub fleet capable of flying missiles, armed with nukes, hypersonic weapons, will be ready by 2024. And will definitely probably be put into use by 22. I definitely could see that. Not too far away. 2018, y'all. Next article from CNBC. U.S. futures come under pressure as fresh trade tariffs takes effect. Next article I got from Daily Reckoning. The next financial crisis is right on schedule, 2019. Next article from Miss Institution. The living reality of military and economic fascism. Woo, this is a good one. We'll touch this as well. Also from Business Insider. Officials keep talking about intervening in Venezuela. Is drawing an ominous comparison. And this is definitely going to continue to unfold in a very strange and spectacular way. And we are prepared for it. But that's what's in the news. Let me refresh this to make sure my man Rise didn't post some things before we get into today's show. Because I don't, Rise did post some things. And so let me get to some of the things that Rise posted, because I just refreshed. And this was, had this up for a little while since I did my last posting. Okay, next article. Rise posted this one from from South China Morning Post. Let me get this real quickly. And it says, Beijing details trade war position after calling off U.S. talks. Check out that article Rise posted from South China Morning Post News. Also from South China Morning Post, Rise posted the latest U.S. tariffs on the U.S. $200 billion in Chinese imports take effect. Check out that article. And then Rise posted from the South China Morning Post, how tensions with the West are crippling China's surveillance system. Check out that article. I need to check that out. That's, I like that. That was interesting. Great article there, Rise. So those are the articles for what's in the news today. If you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And we will see and hear you hear you in the chat room, and we'll definitely bring you up in. Keith, at any time, if you wanted to chime in, just unmute yourself you would just have to unmute you. I think it's star six. You hit star six, so that would unmute you here in the chat room, and then you can chime in at any time. Or any one of you can give us a call, 704-802-5056. All right, so, wow, where do I start? Let me take a breath here. Where do we start? And I think we have to start with what today's show is about. The Syrian no-fly zone to be enforced by Russia. And that was actually challenged this past weekend on multiple occasions by the Israeli Air Force. And they actually sent up probably the challenge to see if Russia was serious about having a no-fly zone. And they sent up some F-16 fighters to challenge it. And they found out that they would be met with the Russian Air Force to push them back. And this is not a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. So just to set the table, here's what's up. On the 17th of September, last week, roughly about a week or so ago, there was a Russian reconnaissance plane. So it's a slow-moving propeller reconnaissance plane that was up doing reconnaissance. And military chose the Air Force and military chose to attack Syrian positions inside of Syrians against the Syrian government and the direct Syrian military, which is an act of war because they are attacking Syria, flew into Syria. Imagine if a country flew into the U.S. and attacked one of its many military installations or anywhere in the world attacked a U.S. military installation, or went into Israel and attacked Israel, right? It would be all-out war. Well, let me tell you something. It will be all-out war. But see, the thing is that those that are being attacked understand that they've already won, so they don't need to do that as of yet. They can continue to do what they're doing, which is actually forcing the issue for the U.S., and it's forcing the issue for them to lose. And they're losing handedly. Handedly. So Israel had been attacking Syria, and when they did, there was a Russian reconnaissance plane that was actually shot down, and they lost all 15 members of the crew. And so now I knew that Russia was going to say, okay, we're going to put up a no-fly zone. So what I want to do is I want to check out this one article, and it's from RT International. Let me pull it up real quickly. And the article from RT International is that criminal neglect or disregard to Russian-Israeli ties, the MOD chronically of the IL-20 downing. So this is what happened. After the plane was shot down, they said it was an accident. They blamed Israel. Russia blamed Israel and said they can now respond now to anything that Israel does. And so then they came out and say, oh, it was unintentional. And then they got called into to overall meetings. There was actually military personnel that was actually summoned to Russia over the weekend to give details of why they shot down the Russian reconnaissance plane. And from what some of the things that I read and some of the things that was actually commented on, said that the Israelis came in with a very arrogant attitude and saying that it wasn't their fault that the overall plane was knocked down. It was because the Syrians are incapable of using their overall missile systems correctly because the Russians haven't trained them well. Well, how do you think that went well in Russia? Basically, they kicked them out. And the overall meetings were short-lived. And you knew by that happening that now it's gone to a different level. And then shortly after that, this is where this article came out. This one came out on yesterday, on Sunday, because Saturday was the day that they met with some of the higher echelons of the Israeli military. And this is what Russia said in regards. Here we go, from the article, from the Russian Defense Ministry. A minute-by-minute account of the IL-20 downing shows Israel culpability in either its military bosses or lack of appreciation of its relationship with Moscow. One second. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so it goes on. With Moscow, or their control and command of officers. Basically, and this is what the Russian Defense Ministry said. Basically said that they were culpable, and either its military bosses or they were culpable, meaning they meant to do this, which they did, or either a lack of appreciation with their relationship with Moscow. They may have got caught in a bad position, and then now, because they don't respect Russia, they try to get out of that position that they put themselves in. Or their overall military commanders have lost control. The military has lost control of its ability to manage the troops. And there was a defined decision that was made by the overall command staff, and they decided to go in the path on their own, regardless of what their overall government officials or the military had the military heads were telling them to do. So they're rogue, in other words. And that's probably not what the case was. They're culpable. They knew exactly what they were doing. And here's the case for that. We believe that the blame for the Russian IL-20 aircraft tragedy lies entirely with the Israeli Air Force, said a spokesman, General Ergoff. I can't really say his name, don't know what it means. So they're a major general for the Russian military spokesman, before revealing a detailed account of the events leading to the downing of the Russian IL-20 military aircraft on September the 17th. The plane was shot down by Syrian air defenses units as Israeli F-16s effectively used it as cover during the attack on its neighbors. Now, here's what some of the things that was said. Some of the things that was said and what I was reading was that the F-16s were being painted by Syrian air defense. And painted means this. They basically, and our best way to put it, if any of you have ever seen like Predator and know the Predator movies, or you've seen people with lasers on weapons or anything like that, whenever a laser hits you, or whenever someone that has a laser on any form of weaponry, once that laser hits you and you can see the laser is on you, that's also known as painting, meaning they can see where their overall what their target is, and is in the actual target is now in the scope and can be engaged with, you know, whatever by way of missiles, by way of a bullet or another laser. Once that overall laser gets on you, it's known as painting, meaning they got a lock on you and they can now hit you. So what happened, what we're saying is that the Israeli F-16s, now you have to remember how fast these things are flying, okay? So when they get painted, then they know that they're painted, and they know that the next thing is that they're going to fire now that they painted them. What they did and what they said was that they moved behind the slower propeller-driven IL-20 reconnaissance plane that Russia had up. And what happened was that the Israeli military didn't tell Russia that they were going to be actually engaging in military operations or that they were going to be attacking Syria from there, because then they Israel says, well, then they'll tell Syria and then they'll be able to paint our planes and everything. We want to keep it as a surprise. And so since they caught it as a surprise, this is the miscalculation that you always hear about, some miscalculation when you have military assets from different countries in the area engaging in operations. There can be a mistake where they shoot each other down or have direct confrontation because they are too close to each other. So what happened was that once the Israeli planes were painted, what they did was they quickly moved behind the slower IL-20, which couldn't outrun them and was trying to land. So by them being painted, they got in behind the IL-20, so that now when they did shoot the missile at the overall painted F-16, the F-16s led the missile into the slower IL-20. The IL-20 had nowhere to go. It was trapped. It was a sitting duck. They probably knew we're done because they can't maneuver fast enough and they can't get out of the way of this incoming missile that's probably coming in at Mach 2. So that's some of the things that happened. So that was something that was said. So let me just continue to read this. Here we go. The report featured previous undisclosed radar data and details of the communications between the Russians and the Israeli militaries, and concluded that the military leadership of Israel either had no apprehension of the level of its relationship with Russia, or has no control over individual commanders or commanding officers who understood that their actions would lead to a tragedy. Misinformation and criminal neglect. On the evening of September the 17th, the Russian IL-20 and with its 15 crew on board were circling over Idlib, de-escalation zone, on a special reconnaissance mission when four F-16 Israeli fighter jets left their country's airspace and flew over the neutral Mediterranean waters toward the Syrian coast. The Israeli Air Force gave the Russian side less than a minute warning before dropping the precision guided bomb, leaving virtually no time for any safety maneuvers to happen. Calling such an action is a clear violation of the 2015 Russian-Israeli agreement. Moreover, Israel's military failed to provide the location of their jets or properly specify their targets, claiming they were going to attack several industrial facilities in northern Iraq close to the IL-20 area of operation. The misinformation prompted the Russian command to order the reconnaissance plane back to the Crimea air base. The Israeli jets, however, instead almost immediately attacked the western Syrian Latika Providence. The misleading information provided for Israel's officers, the misleading information provided by the Israeli officers about the area of strike did not allow the Russian IL-20 plane to move timely to a safe area. Once the Syrian air defense response to the initial strikes, the Israeli jets switched on their radar jammings and pulled back, apparently preparing for another attack. One of the Israeli jets then came closer to the Syrian coast and approached the Russian plane, which was preparing to land at the time. As the Israeli jet approached the Russian plane at the time is when the Syrian air defenses was launched. The Israeli pilot must have been well aware of the fact that the IL-20 had a much longer radar cross-section than the F-16, meaning once he took his smaller plane next to the larger one, the overall radar was going to follow the intended target of the Israeli plane. But now, once it got close to the overall Russian plane, the overall radar signature of the Russian plane was bigger than the Israeli F-16 and would become a preferred target for the Syrian defense units, who used different friend-to-foe systems with the Russians. Thus, the Syrians basically, here's what really happened in my estimation, is that they fired. And then what happened was, in the short duration of time, the overall F-16 probably went to afterburners, went as fast as it could to get as close to the overall IL-20, so that when the incoming missile that was coming in, possibly at Mach 2, it would cross, and then the overall IL-20 plane would be hit instead of the overall Israeli plane, because the Syrian defense missile was chasing the F-15, and it would have caught it and took it down, but it hit the other one because it got in between. The Israeli plane put itself and the IL-20 reconnaissance plane in between it and the missile, and the missile had no, just kept going, and it just was, it went into the IL-20 because it was an easier target. The Israeli jet approached the Russian plane at the time when the Syrian air defense, or I got that part. So it goes on. The Israeli pilot must have been well aware. Oh, did that. Let me move down. The Israeli jet saw the Russian IL and used it as a shield against the anti-aircraft missiles while they carried out maneuvers in the region. The action of the Israeli pilot, which led to the loss of life of 15 Russian servicemen, either was a lack of professionalism or was an act of criminal neglect, to say the least. They basically they used it as an opportunist. They knew that that overall Russian plane, they basically shot that Russian plane down. So it goes on. Finally, the Israeli jet carried out maneuvers in the immediate vicinity of the base, which is used by both the military and civilian aircraft. Basically, why they're saying this, see, this is when they said civilian aircraft, they are basically building a case for to expand this overall no-fly zone. See, they say civilian aircraft because they're going to say, since the Israelis were so criminally, had such abandonment for life and criminal neglect, we can't trust them anymore to do the right thing. So what we're going to do is that we have to protect civilian aircraft that's coming in and Russian aircraft that's coming in from the overall neglect as the Russians using them as the Israeli and the U.S. using them as shield from the overall anti-aircraft. So now we need to expand this no-fly zone over the whole country of Syria. And that's where this is really going. So it goes on. Including civilian aircraft, including passenger planes. The minister spokesman emphasized, seeing the recklessness of the actions of the Israeli pilots could also have posed a threat to any passenger or transport aircraft that may have happened to be in the area at the same time. Israeli crossed the lines of a civilian relationship with unregretful response. Israeli neglectful behavior has amounted to a flagrant violation of the very spirit of cooperation between the countries. Noting that the Russians have never broken its commitment to deconfrontation agreement, it has always informed Israel about their missions in advance, and have never used its air defense capabilities against Israeli aircraft, even though they were striking, their airstrikes sometimes put the Russian servicemen in danger. Basically, what they were saying there, say, you know what? We have been true to this overall agreement, but no longer will we be true to this agreement. We were true to this agreement, never even to target you when you were even putting our Russian servicemen into danger and harm's way with your recklessness. But we're not going to allow that anymore, is basically what was said. Russia has sent as many as 300 notifications to Israeli Air Force commands while the latter appears to be reluctant to show the same level of commitment, notifying only 25 times. So Israel only notified the Russians of 25 instances that they were going to be conducting military exercises in the area or campaign, when the Russian told them 310 times. Even though thus the jets came out of more than 2,200 strikes against larger locations in Syria over the past 18 months, this is an extremely unregretful response to all that has been done by the Russian Federation for Israel and the Israeli people recently, and for the Federation of Israel and for the people. The Russian military supported the Syrian military operation in the Golan Heights to ensure that there was no shelling attacks on Israel territory anymore, thus allowing the UN peacekeeping mission to resume patrolling on the borders between Syria and Israel after a six-year hiatus. Russia also managed to secure and withdraw all of the Iranian-backed groups from the Golan Heights to a safe distance from Israel, more than 140 kilometers at the east of Syria, the spokesman said, adding that this was done at the request of Tel Aviv. A total of 1,000 personnel and 24 MLRS and tactical missiles, as well as 145 pieces of other munitions and military equipment were withdrawn from the area at their request. Basically, what Russia is saying is that, see, we've done all of these things for Israel, and Israel still takes advantage of all of these things. We're not going to allow that to happen anymore. Even though they asked Iran to only conduct operations within the Iranian borders. See, what Russia is doing is setting up the U.S. and Israel to completely fail. And they've already done, because they've laid out the cases here. They're basically presenting the case to the world why we can't have a peaceful solution to anything, because there's adversaries in our midst. And those adversaries now must be dealt with, because no longer can they be trusted to keep their agreements. Remember when the U.S. broke their agreement with Iran, and now Russia is saying Israel's broken agreement with them. See, broken agreements lead to war. And now they're laying out all these broken agreements, and they're going to tie them all together as an overall reason why the world needs to go to war against these two rogue states. Hey, listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give me a call. 704-802-5056 to chime in. We'll talk to you. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, just give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. My man Scotty says he has a question. I'm going to go to Scotty real quick. And Keith, I made a mistake. Scotty corrected me. It's not it's star-star to actually get in on the conversation. Hit star-star on your phone, Keith, and then that will unmute you, and we'll see you in queue. And it's not star six. I made that mistake. So let's go to Scotty. Scotty, what's going on, bro? What say you?
Hey, what's up, Dave? Yeah, this is something that I have been monitoring real closely because of the potential for it to turn into World War III. Very, very serious, not to be taken lightly. But my question is, I'm not seeing where Russia declared a no-fly zone like Clinton did in Iraq. You know, they declared a no-fly zone in the southern part of Iraq to protect the Kurds at that time. And I'm not seeing that Russia has declared the no-fly zone. And I don't even know if they would have the authority to do so in Syria. I mean, it would be Syria that should be declaring the no-fly zone with the backing of their allies in the region or in country. But what I have read is like a de facto no-fly zone by Russia agreeing to put those S-300s that they had agreed to sell Syria in 2013, but then didn't deliver them because of the side agreements you were just talking about with Israel. So now I'm reading this morning that they're going to put those S-300s in there, and that, you know, those S-300s are a more modern system than what Syria has now, and it wouldn't be such a mistake. That's what I'm gathering.
Yeah, and the actual the no-fly zone is actually in place right now that Russia is. One second. I'm going to post it. It's come from, I'll repost it. Here it is, Scotty. This one is, one second, Scotty. It comes from, and I meant to put this inside. Here it is. This is from Southern Front. And the article is, and what they're doing, well, the article speaks for itself. Let me just pull it up real quick.
Now, to me, though, Dave, it's more consequential with them giving them S-300s, then for them to even declare no-fly zone, because those will be permanently in the possession of Syria. And remember, this is why the U.S. is pissed off at China right now. Didn't China just buy some of those same systems?
Yes, and jets to go along with it. Yes, Turkey has purchased them. India wants to purchase some, and yes, so Scotty is absolutely right. So here it is from Southern Front, and the article is, Russian closed down huge swaths of Eastern Mediterranean airspace for military drill. And this is, the Russian forces in Syria will conduct drills in the international waters off the coast of Israel and Syria between September the 19th and the 26th, following the Israeli provocation a few days ago, which led to the downing of a Russian IL-20 intelligence plane by the Syrian Arabs Air Defense. A released navigation warship map shows the Russian forces will impose a no-fly zone covering most of the area around Israeli waters during the drill.
So that that's not a no-fly zone in Syria. That's a no-fly zone in international waters where they'll be conducting these exercises.
Yeah, right up against the overall Israeli-Syrian border where it's going to be. And that prevents the Israelis, and then also Jordan. Man, I had that the actual article. I got to find it, and I had it from yesterday. Jordan actually also said that Israel can no longer use their airspace to actually enter into Syria, and that one surprised me. That was a surprise to me. I got to pull that article up. I actually someone turned my computer off on stuff that I had over the weekend to put it on to BTR community, and that's where I lost that article. So what they did is that they actually have a demilitarization zone off of the waters outside of Idlib, out of Syria, and it actually extends also into part of the Mediterranean that borders with the Israel as well. So this no-fly zone that they have, in my opinion, and why they're doing it from this time point right now, is because they're sending over the S-300 system, and they don't want that S-300 system to in no way actually be interfered with in its safe arrival to Syria. And then once they all get on the ground, I anticipate that Russia will put up a no-fly zone with Syria over the whole country, because they're going to need to protect that overall S-300 system to be able to get it to be functioning within that two-week time period. No-fly zones are serious. And actually, Israel tested the overall no-fly zone that Russia has put down right now in the Eastern Mediterranean. They tested it over the weekend, and they were turned back. And I anticipate that once the overall cargo planes and all of the equipment, as they start to say that they're sending it to Syria, once it gets in country and on the ground, then they're going to have to protect it to get actually up and running, for it to be installed. Once it's installed, that no-fly zone is not needed anymore, because the S-300 and all of their systems that it has with it will actually be the no-fly zone. They'll be able to defend themselves appropriately. So this is really, really, and man, I hate that I don't have that article at my disposal with Jordan. That's very, very, very important, which signifies so much, but I'll find it. And then I will definitely put it up. So, yes, there is a de facto no-fly zone in Syria right now. And how that's going to adjudicate itself is going to be very, 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 very tenuous, and see how it unfolds. It's basically moving more and more towards confrontation. And I definitely anticipate once that no-fly zone is up, then now you got to understand, a no-fly zone in Syria means that the U.S. won't be able to supply their overall military base that's there. The U.S. is going to look at that as an act of war, and they're going to have to challenge it. And then now you have a major, major problem. I wouldn't be surprised if you have a false flag of a civilian airline that gets shot down relatively soon. From which country, I don't know. But definitely, and this is only going to to enhance this situation even further. So the overall, see, Russia's in a position now that it can't back down. China's in a position now that it can't back down. And believe me, I don't think that they would have allowed themselves to be in that position if they planned on ever backing down. They allowed themselves to be in that position because they know that they can win the consequences that will come from that. There was an article that JP Morgan Chase put out and said that celebrity figurehead Trump's arrogance is going to cause for a major miscalculation somewhere in the world. All wars are bankers' wars. So when JP Morgan Chase has that type of comment saying that, and remember Jamie Dimon said from JP Morgan Chase said, man, I should have been president. This guy basically said, this guy is an idiot. Then he had to come back off. See, that was the prelude for what was being just said now, that there's a major miscalculation that this guy has because of his arrogance. And what are they really saying? He's incompetent. He's making decisions based off of his emotions that are unstable. And there's going to be a major, major global miscalculation that's going to happen. Where is that major, major global miscalculation going to happen? It's going to happen in Venezuela. It's going to happen in the Ukraine. It's going to happen in the South Sea of China. It's going to happen with trades and tariffs. It's going to happen in Syria. It's going to happen in Idlib. It's going to happen in Iran. It's going to happen in Central America. It's going to happen on the Korean Peninsula. And so, see, this is why he was the perfect selection, because they know that he would, that overall celebrity figurehead would be easy to sell with plausible deniability, easy to sell that type of miscalculation is going to happen. Everyone knows and everyone sees that this dude is rogue. It's perfect. He could be outmaneuvered and outplayed by professional politicians such as Putin, such as Maduro, such as the celebrity figurehead heads of states of the rest of the countries in the world, from Germany to France to Iran to Panama to Korea to China and to Japan. I think Japan is a very, very key player in this whole thing. We never forget, they have the overall history to say that payback is bothersome, is painful. So yeah, it's really unfolding in this no-fly zone that is only going to increase. And how some of the things that you can see that is going to increase is in the trade war zone. And there was an article I put in Bloomberg, trade war really sets in as the U.S. and China stick to their own guns. There's a great article that's there. So everyone, they're setting in, and now they're sanctioning China for actually buying military hardware from their ally of Russia. And there was a Wall Street Journal that came out today. It says, China says Trump administration is a trade bully as new tariffs takes place. And it says the white papers describes America's first policy as an abandonment of norms of mutual respect and conciliation. Okay. Move this down. Oops, I can't use that one because that was from the Wall Street Journal. But let me pull up these white papers, and this is very important. Here we go. U.S. trade bullyism shakes foundation of global multilateralism. Trade regimes white papers. The trade bullyism practice of the United States has shaken the foundation of the global multilateral trade regime, which will ultimately hurt its long-term interests, says a white paper published by the Chinese government on Monday, today. The new U.S. administration has practiced unilateralism and economic hegemony with a narrow focus on America first since taking office, says the white papers. The facts and China's position on the U.S.-China trade fraction. The only thing, move this down real quickly. Sorry about that. This has not only undermined the interests of China and other countries, but has jeopardized the international reputation of the United States itself, the white paper says. The United States unilateral provokes trade fractions on the pretense of its domestic law, says the white paper. See, what does that mean, the domestic law? See, that's political savviness that they're using. They're trying to say that the U.S. is trying to use this domestic law, its domestic interest, at the overall behest and compromise of the global trade economy. So they're basically using what's in their best interest only, U.S. law, instead of looking at international law. So they've extended their overall, they circumvented the international law, and they use international law as a form of their domestic law. Basically, they're trying to subjugate and enslave everyone's economy to their benefit. It says the United States, citing industrial injury and protectiveness of intellectual properties, regularly circumvent the disputed settlement of the World Trade Organization and provokes international trade factions merely using U.S. domestic law as the pretense. Initiating a host of investigations under Section 243 and Section 202 and Section 301. Such unilateralism actions have harmed the interests of China and other WTO members. More importantly, they have undermined the authority of the WTO, the World Trade Organization, and its dispute settlement system, the white paper said. The United States has been making baseless accusations against other countries' industrial policies, according to the white papers, as an effective tool to remedy the market failures and improve social welfare. Industrial policies should not be subject to groundless accusations as long as they are consistent with the WTO rules. According to the white papers, to strengthen this global leadership position in manufacturing, the United States has in recent years, formulated a huge number of industrial policies, but at the same time, it has made unwarranted accusations against other countries justifying industrial policies. The white papers noted that the United States used a long-arm jurisdiction in imposing sanctions against other countries based on U.S. domestic law. So basically, what they were basically saying is this, is that the U.S. is using its overall domestic law policy as the rest of the world, meaning that they are the imperial empire of the rest of the world. Adding that this has been extended in its long-arm adjudication to wider areas include civil torts, financial investment, anti-monopoly, export controls, and cybersecurity in recent years. There's their cybersecurity. That's going to be huge. See, they wrote these white papers because these white papers are going to be the backbone and the overall part of the presentation or a part of the accusations to go to war. This has been done throughout history, and this is following that same path, and is going to continue to find that same path up until there's overall global nuclear war one exchange with these countries. And how big and how extensive they will be, I'm not quite sure, but I'm pretty sure of the outcome. And the outcome is there won't be a United States anymore. There'll be Russia and China, but it won't be the U.S. Or if it is the U.S., it will be much, much smaller than what it is right now. The article goes on. In international affairs, it has frequently requested entities or individuals of other countries to obey U.S. domestic laws. Otherwise, they may face U.S. civil, criminal, or trade sanctions at any time, says the white paper. See, they're saying here is that the U.S. has had a policy, either you do what we say or we'll sanction you. You better obey us. And if you don't obey us, we'll have retribution against you, civilly, criminally, or trade sanctions. That is an act of war. The United States internationalism, domestic issues, and polarized economic and trade issuance, says the white patient, has been erroneously attributed to unemployment caused by domestic policies and institutional flaws to international trade. The U.S. administration has accused other countries of stealing U.S. jobs through unfair trade. China is the biggest source of the U.S. trade deficit, is a convenient primary target, the white paper says. So let me stop there. What are they saying there? They're saying that the U.S. economy has faltered and they need somebody to blame on that. And since they have the largest trade deficit with the U.S., it's convenient for them to have a primary target on China, who they owe everything to. So they're basically saying is that the U.S. is trying to get out of paying their debt to us by imposing sanctions, criminal activities, and have a civil case against us. And then with a civil case, what does that mean? That means that you have to pay something. What are they going to say? That they don't have to pay their debt to you, so that you owe them this in order for everything to be right. So they're basically telling China, guess what? You're going to pay for our debt that we owe you. And we're going to do that by way of sanctions and by way of trade sanctions and criminal activity and civil activities. We're going to bring all of these against you, and then we're going to attach a bill to it. Boy, how many of you would allow somebody to do that to you? What makes you think that the rest of the world is going to let the U.S. do that? Because it's not just China that the U.S. owes. It's everybody. All the major nuclear countries, they owe to. All of them. So they do this, and they're doing this, the same policy of how do you get out of the debt? Well, easy. You say you don't owe it anymore, and that the person that you owe it to actually owes you. That's a double whammy. That's a zero-sum game, because not only do you not pay the debt back, but you, the debt that you had, you impose that now on the overall governments, other governments to obey. It ain't going to happen. The article goes on. However, the statistics from the United Nations shows the U.S.-China trade expanded by factors of 4% between 2000 and 2017. Yet unemployment in the United States has dropped from 5.7% to 4.1%, noted by the white paper. See, they're beating the U.S. at its own game because they know they're cooking their books on their unemployment. So they're using the cookbooks of their unemployment numbers that they're saying and saying, wait a minute, you can't have a case against us because you're saying this right here. In fact, unemployment of some of the social groups in the United States is caused by flaws in the domestic economic policy and the absence of proper redistribution and reemployment mechanisms against the backdrop of technology advances and economic restructuring, the white paper said. Man, did they hand it to them there. The white papers also said that the U.S. current administration is violating its own commitment as it has turned its back on universally recognized and wide observed norms governing international relationships. See, they're saying, there it is. This is J.P. Morgan Chase saying that, hey, this dude's arrogance is he's going to cause for a miscalculation. That's what the white papers is saying here that China just put out today. And made a series of moves in violation of its own commitments The opportunism of the United States towards international relations has been widely challenged and criticized by the international community, says the white paper. The short-sighted actions of the United States in pursuit of its short-term interest harms its international credibility and will undermine its international standing and prejudice its strategic interests, it said. China just made the case to go to war and defeat the U.S. official. Because these white papers that was put out today by the Chinese government will go to all of the other governments of the world. And these white papers will be the actual indictment that will be used. Where else are you hearing about this type of these things? You're not. Why? It's because the overall mainstream media is controlled by the prevailing interests of those same entities and organizations that have been put into place to steal your energy daily, hourly, and every second and every minute of the day. And one of the things that's critical about this is that it's not just China. It's Germany, it's France, it's the UK, it's Russia, it's North, it's Korea. I always say Korea, I don't say North and South anymore. It's Venezuela, it's Iran, it's Iraq, it's Syria, it's Italy. It's all of the major, it's the EU, the European Union, it's Central America and South America, the BRIC nations, it's the continent. All of these countries have been under this prevailing protectivism, or these prevailing domestic laws of the United States and their social and their sovereign nation. And this is the case that they're all going to be making against the U.S. And I'm going to tell you why they're all going to make it. And one of the things that was key in that overall paper was a quote. And I have to bring this quote up, and I'm going to get this quote from Global Times. And Global Times is a Chinese publication, so that you know. And that overall Global Times I have to find it. But it pretty much put everything into existence, and it basically says that the U.S. is trying to bully its way into trade positions throughout the world that no one is going to allow, and particularly is not going to be allowed by the number one economy in the world. And if the number one economy of the world is not going to do it, they're going to use some of the same tactics as the U.S., but in a different way. How they're going to do it is that they're going to say, we're not doing business with the U.S. and no one else that does business with them. So what do you think the rest of the world is going to do? They're going to say, okay, we got a choice. Do we want to do business with the U.S. who's broke? Or do we want to maintain relationships with China and the rest of the overall momentum that they've gained from the economic relationships that they've built? Now, is there some of the same policies, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, That's it. Absolutely. But right now, the focus isn't on the new boss. It's first getting rid of the old one. And that overall case that's being made is more than strong. It's more than significant. It's being made from a position of essential. It's essential that the rest of the world divest itself of the U.S. But more than just divest itself of the U.S., it now has to neuter the U.S. completely. So, listen, everyone, I'm getting ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty, give me 1 minute. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely do that. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to get in. We definitely want to talk to you, so definitely do that. And we were actually talking talking about what's happening, and it's pretty darn significant, some of the things that are being played out, and wanted to just bring those things to your attention so that you can make some of your own assessments as to what's significant. Now, also, we were talking about some of what China is now presenting to the world, but there's an article from Bloomberg that we have posted there, and it's pretty telling. It says trade war really sets in as the U.S. and China stick to their guns, and this was from Bloomberg. And it says the world's two biggest economies. I would say that that's not a true statement. The world's two biggest economies is China and the EU, not the U.S. anymore. Not the U.S. The two biggest economies are digging in for what could be a long, bruising trade war, testing the resilience of the strong global upward swing in years. Trump administration just after midnight on Monday slapped tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese goods. China responds with duties of its own of $60 billion on U.S. products. The Chinese government also offered a plan The Chinese government also called off plans to talk with U.S. officials as consensus grow in China that the substantive discussions would only be possible after the U.S. midterm elections in November, according to people familiar to the matter. U.S. stocks fell as investors face the grim reality of protracted trade war between the two powers. Ignoring the warnings of business leaders, economists, celebrity figurehead Donald Trump isn't backing down from his plans to confront China over what he argues is unfair trade practices at the abuse of the U.S. intelligence, U.S. intellectual properties. China's president, Xi Jinping, is refusing to bow to the U.S. aggression, preparing stimulus measures to cushion the impact of the for the Chinese economy. And it goes on, and it talks about some very significant things as far as what's going on. It also talks about today's white papers, but here's what is significant. One of the things that was said in one of the articles, and that was very, very telling, and this came from the Chinese news agency, says that trade talk negotiations cannot be carried out under the threat of tariffs. And what are the tariffs that the U.S. but it's not only the threats of tariffs, but it's also the sanctions that China is not going to be playing by rules now, because now the squeeze against China is actually being invoked, and they know what that overall means and where that came from. And this is why they canceled some of their military talks. Now here it is from yesterday. No, the other day. It was Friday. China cancels military talks with the U.S. in protest as sanctions over Russian military equipment. So this was on Friday. China canceled military talks with the U.S. in protest as sanctions over Russian military equipment. Reuters. China summoned the U.S. ambassador in Beijing and postponed joint military talks in protest against the U.S. decision to sanction Chinese agencies and its directors for buying Russian fighter jets and surface-to-air missiles. The Chinese deputy foreign minister summoned the ambassador of the U.S. in a stern representation, the foreign ministry said. The Chinese defense ministry said in a statement it will recall Navy chief from a visit to the U.S. and postpone planned talks in Beijing between China and the U.S. military officials that had been set for next week. It added that China's military reserves the right to take further countermeasures without giving any further details. Military spokesman for the Chinese government said the Chinese decision to buy fighter jets and missile systems from Russia was a normal act of cooperation between sovereign countries, and the United States has no right to interfere. On Thursday, the U.S. State Department imposed sanctions on China's Equipment Development Department, EED, the branch of the military responsible for weapons procurement, after they engaged in a significant transaction with Robospon Export, a Russian main military exporter. The sanctions are related to China's purchases of the 10 Su-35 combat aircraft in 2013. The Su-35 aircraft, they're pretty capable. They're not only bombers, but they're very, very capable fighters. They actually were the ones that actually chased the Israeli F-16s back to Israel in this last encroachment in Syria. And Scotty said there's probably the S-300 system that China was going to be buying that made the U.S. so mad. Well, here it is. And the S-400 system, surface-to-air missile system related equipment in 2018, the State Department said. The S-400 is more advanced than the S-300 system by leaps and bounds. So the U.S. is upset. Where do you think that China's going to put the S-400 system in? They're going to install the S-400 system in the South Sea of China. That would mitigate and actually almost nullify with other assets that will nullify the overall U.S. naval armada advantage. A senior U.S. official said on Saturday that China was the only country that had taken possession of the advanced S-400 system in a breach of U.S. sanction laws imposed in response to the Russian malign behavior. The overall, and this is what China said in their white papers, who are you to tell us what your domestic laws and how you dictate things and tell us how we're supposed to? The official speaking to Reuters on the conditions of anonymity insisted that the sanctions were aimed at Moscow, not Beijing. Yeah, right. the so-called counter-American advantage, adversaries through Sanctions Act, or CAATSA, was signed into law in 2017 to punish Russia for meddling in U.S. elections, aggressions in the Ukraine, and involvement in the Syrian war. Let's stop there. How many elections have the U.S. interfered with? All of them. How much aggression did they impose in the Ukraine? They had a coup that was put on by a proxy government in the Ukraine, so they were the ones that aggravated. And their involvement in the Syrian war and involvement in the Syrian civil war, the U.S. has military bases, unauthorized military bases with military personnel and military assets that are supporting other countries attacking, and they're attacking the Syrian government themselves. Who are they? This whole thing is going to come to a head. China is the first country in the world to use both of the systems, the official said. Both of the systems are extremely sophisticated and very high value. See, they didn't want China and Russia to have this overall relationship against the U.S. They've always wanted to divide those two against each other because then they would maintain control. Kind of similar to what happens in a domestic front. The mobile S-400 batteries, which includes radar and a control system and missiles with a range of up to 250 miles, was first deployed in Russia in 2007 and is considered Moscow's most effective defense against aircraft and missile drones. I actually surmise that they have the S-600 and S-800 systems already ready to go. Russia has deployed the S-400 in Syria, according to Russian official news media. The U.S. officials have been discussing the interests other nations, particularly NATO ally Turkey, have expressing in buying the system. They actually, it's a collapse in Turkey's economy because they want to buy the S-400. Washington has expressed concerns that Turkey's planned deployment of S-400 could threaten some U.S.-made weapons and other technology used by Turkey, including the F-35 fighter jet. See, the U.S. don't want these countries to have these systems because then they can't sanction them and bully them into submission. And all of this is here. Now, we laid it out as to some of the things that's happened. I'm not quite sure if Scotty wanted to chime in.
Actually, I was just about to mute myself. I forgot to mute myself. But just to reiterate that point you just made, what the French and Americans did to Libya would have never happened if they had those S-300s or 400s. It never happened.
Yes. Absolutely. Because then they wouldn't have been able to use air superiority to invade and destabilize and actually have an act of war against Libya. They attacked Libya. Libya would have been able to support itself. And what Gaddafi was doing is what the rest of the world is doing now.
Hey, you know, Dave, I was just thinking last night, I might even been dreaming about it. Why I would dream about something like that, I don't know. Maybe I was dreaming I was doing a program or something, but the U.S. has never directly attacked a country that's able to defend itself, like a Russia, like a China. They always use proxies, you know, like in Afghanistan. Yep. They supported the Mujahideen, you know, to fight against the Russian troops, like they're doing in Syria now, supporting the so-called Free Syrian Army and terrorist groups and what. But they never go head-to-head with someone who's able to, meet force with force.
Yes, and mitigate their overall military superiority, because they won't do that because they know that the military is in their over. It's kind of like a bully. They know their chin is weak, but it looks like it's real strong. It's never been tested, but if you really think about it, it has been tested throughout history. Look at Look at the American war against Vietnam. The U.S. got their hat handed to them.
You know, Dave, I was just thinking about that. See, politically, they know the American public can't stomach high American casualties. And if it's going to inflict, you look at the Gulf War, which I was in the Gulf War. There's more people killed in the United States every year, either by other citizens or by police, than were killed in that entire war, man. You know, because of the air superiority and what have you, and you know, Iraq being just not equal to us militarily. But anything that's going to produce high American casualties is a political liability. I think they learned that from Vietnam. But also, I was just reading today, and I was going to talk about it later on BTR News. The United States military has been missing its recruitment goals, and now they're saying that a strong economy has led to them not being able to hit their recruiting targets. So what I'm hearing is, well, the private sector is providing too many jobs, and we don't have enough desperate poor children out here that's willing, right, you know, to join the U.S. military.
Wow, Scotty. Yeah, definitely have that conversation, because I didn't know that. And that's a big tell as what they plan on doing. So what do you do? What do? To increase, you force people in by poverty to have no other recourse. And so that's a tell on what they're going to be doing with the economy. Huge. And the draft is another thing. Remember, don't forget, now they can draft not only your prize men of your family, young men of your family, they can now draft, or they have the draft eligibility for women, which is more detrimental than drafting our young men. Because a land without women is barren. You don't exist anymore. You can't recover from that. Well, that is a critical, wow. So that, it tells a whole bunch that's there. And see, the U.S. has been a bully that presented a strong chin, but has never been tested. But the chin has always really been tested. And if you look at it, because of their overall propaganda, they never got into where they lost the overall complete propaganda war. They've lost a lot, and Scotty's absolutely right. The people here can't stomach high casualties. So what do they know? They know that, so how are they going to invoke this next war? Because they're going to say that you was attacked, and because of that attack, it made you so poor that you'll be willing to do whatever to defend your nation. And that's where you'll stomach at all costs. Affect the U.S. people's dinner table. Affect their quality of life, their standard of living. Hit them where it hurts. And believe me, they've been indoctrinated to think that they have the greatest military on the planet. They've been indoctrinated to think that this is the freest state that you could ever live in, that this is the best place that you can ever live in. They've employed the overall addiction to credit. An addiction to credit is to get what you can't afford, to have what you can't afford. And that overall paradigm has made people very right to, whenever the government speaks, they speak for us. And this is where they say we sick, boss, and this is going to be a problem, because they're going to give you the conditions that are going to be dramatized. And they're going to give you the propaganda. What did the media say? our job is to tell the people what to think, and they're going to tell you what to think. They're going to tell you that it's time for you, that Uncle Sam wants you, and that great uncle you're going to listen to and obey, and at all costs, and it's going to be set up. So listen, everyone, got to get ready to get out of here. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Much love, much respect. Great creator willing, we'll be back tomorrow. And remember, before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Much love, much respect. Greatly appreciate you. Thank you, Scotty. Talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.